As many of you know, I live two streets away, and so my normal way of walking to church is I come a little way up my street, and then there's a cut through. Local people call it Lanerley Lane. I tend to want to call it Llanelli Lane, but Lanerley is what most people say. And when you come through Lanerley Lane, if you're coming towards the church, on your left-hand side, there's a vine. It takes up the whole of a garden. There's an Italian gentleman who lives there. I don't actually know his name, although I say hello to him when I see him in the street. I see him most days, actually. He's usually walking down our street to his son's house in the next street. And vine, it does produce grapes. I don't think he's very interested in the grapes. I think he likes the shade. He's got it set out. There's sort of like a sort of trellis effect, so that the leaves then sort of provide a sort of roof over the garden. And when it's hard to remember what it's like when it's hot, but when it does get hot, as it does in the summer, he's able then with his wife to have a, I don't know if they drink wine or what they have to drink there, but they sit there in the garden and enjoy the pleasance of the shade. And there's also a fig tree at the end of the garden. I think it's traditional to put fig trees next to vines. And I suppose it's part of his Mediterranean culture. If you've travelled at all in the Mediterranean area, you'll be aware that although vines are not particularly common in this country, maybe as global warming takes over, maybe they'll become more common, I don't know. But they're not common here, but they are common all around the Mediterranean area. And of course that includes the Promised Land, that includes what we today call Israel and Palestine. And vines were so common amongst the Jews that it became the national emblem. It became the sort of the logo, the sign then of the Jews, the vine. And so when you read, very often when you read in the scriptures about the vine, particularly say if you've got a parable that talks about a vineyard or about a vine, then more often than not, it's speaking about the people of God, his ancient people, the Jews. Now, we're not particularly familiar then with vines, most of us. But I'm sure you can just picture in your mind the sort of the basic shape of these quite large leaves that you've got on vine, the way they, there's not much strength to the vine itself. And so it's usually trained then onto something a little bit stronger. And I'm sure you can get the picture in your mind, and grapes at least. Grapes are much more common today than perhaps they were a few years ago in this country. Red grapes, green grapes, nice seedless ones we often have today, don't we? They're much easier to eat. And I would guess that what happens here in John chapter 15 is that as Jesus and his disciples are making the journey now from the upper room in Jerusalem, where the Last Supper took place, across the Kidron Valley to the Garden of Gethsemane, I would guess that as they're coming along, they see a vine. The Garden of Gethsemane means the Garden of the Olive Press. And all over that, well, it's called the Mount of Olives, isn't it? There are olive trees everywhere. But in certain places, there are also vines. And so the Lord Jesus then, as he's walking along with his disciples, they see this vine, and he says, as you see there in chapter 15 and verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. It's the night of Jesus' betrayal. And having spoken to them already at some length in the upper room, he's continuing to speak to them as they make their way from the upper room to the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, that phrase, I am the true vine, reminds us that there are at least seven occasions, there are actually more than that, but there are at least seven occasions in the Gospel of John where Jesus uses this phrase, I am. There are these I am sayings. In fact, this is the last of these key phrases that give us an insight into his person and into his work. You remember we've already had, I am the bread of life. And we've had, I am the light of the world. We've had I am the gate and I am the good shepherd. Sometimes I am the door, I am the gate. Same word really that Jesus would have used. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. And then in the previous chapter, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then the seventh saying then, I am the true vine. So having stated that he is the true vine, and that his father is the gardener, or the husbandman, the one who looks after the vine then, Jesus goes on to say that the father does two things in this connection. First of all, the father cuts off every branch in Christ that bears no fruit. That's one of the teachings of the passage, isn't it? It's in more detail in verse 6. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is obviously cut off, first of all, then thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. So there's this removal of branches that don't belong to the vine. That's the first thing. And then the second thing then is that every branch that does bear fruit, if there's a good bunch of grapes then on a particular branch, well, what happens to that then? It's pruned, or literally it's cleaned then. It isn't just left, but it's cut back, which might seem the same as being cut off, but cut off and cut back is two different things. It's important that we keep that in our minds. It's cut back then. Why is it cut back? So that it will be even more fruitful. And so Jesus assures the remaining disciples, now that Judas Iscariot is gone, verse 3, you are already clean then, you've already undergone this pruning process because of the word I have spoken to you. And that brings us then to verse 4 and verse 5. And those are the verses I want us to concentrate on this evening. Jesus says to his disciples, he says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And that's really the heart, I think, of what Jesus has to say in these passages. The rest really follows on. We've drawn attention to verse 6. Those then who don't remain, they are like branches thrown away and that wither, that are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. But if you remain in Jesus Christ and his words remain in you, well, then you can ask for anything in prayer and it will be given. It is to the Father's glory then that the disciples bear fruit, showing themselves to be true disciples. All that is necessary then is for a Christian then, all that is necessary is that he keeps himself in the love of Christ. And that love to Christ shows itself in obedience and is worked out in that way. One obvious example that Jesus gives then is that the true Christian, he will love his fellow believers. Christians love each other. Anyway, what we'll do is just to concentrate on these two verses, verse 4 and 5. And I want to say just four things, very simply. I hope you don't feel we don't make much progress tonight, but I just want to make these four brief and simple statements. First of all, then, hear and understand the command and the promise that Jesus gives here. So first of all, we've got to listen, we've got to hear and understand, first of all, the command and then the promise that Jesus gives here. That's what we have, isn't it, in verse 4. We have first a command and then a promise. And the implication is that if we obey the command, then we will know the blessing of the promise being fulfilled. So let's think about the command first of all then. We've just read, haven't we, from the confession. When we come across a command, isn't it, we are to yield obedience to the command. Well, what is the command that we need to yield obedience to here? It's there at the beginning of verse 4, isn't it? Remain in me. That's what Jesus says, remain in me. The old versions you may be more familiar with, abide in me. Remain in me. That's what abide means, to remain. And in one sense, in order for a person to live the Christian life, all he has to do is to remain in Christ. Now, what does that mean then? Well, that means to keep trusting him, doesn't it? It means to rest on him. It means to rely on him. All you have to do is stick with Jesus. We could put it that way. Just stick with Jesus. That's all you need to do. So that's the command then, isn't it? Remain in me, Jesus says. And then the promise comes with it. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. It's a reciprocal thing, if you like. If you remain in Christ, then he will remain in you. If you keep trusting him, then he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He won't abandon you. He won't leave you then. No, he will continue to work in your life, saving you and keeping you and bringing you safe to heaven at last. Now, of course, it doesn't answer the question of how you get to be in Christ in the first place. And I know that the passage doesn't really address that question, but I think you'd appreciate it if I just said something about that. And I think, first of all, if you like, then, there are those who find themselves in the vine already, as it were. You see, some of you now, you've been brought up, or you are being brought up in a Christian home. And by a Christian home, I mean where the Word of God is believed and spoken about. You're encouraged to come to church. And you're hearing these things, and you're being told this is the truth. And there's a sense in which then you are in the vine. And there's a sense in which all you really need to do is to remain in the vine, to remain in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, often there's going to be a point, isn't there, where you come to a conscious decision with regard to remaining in Christ. But it isn't always like that. Many people who are brought up in Christian homes, they can honestly say, well, I can't really remember a time when I didn't believe this, when I wasn't in the vine, if you like. Now, obviously, there was a time. We all need to be converted. I'm not pretending that we don't need to be converted. But sometimes you're so much part of that life that it is really very difficult sometimes to see the joy, to see then where the division comes. Now, be careful now. Some of you are worried about what I'm saying. Let me make it clear. I'm not saying that simply being a church goer is enough. I'm not saying now anybody who's here tonight, and if you come regularly, then you're in the van. I'm not saying that. Jesus deliberately calls himself here, doesn't he? The true vine. Israel was a vine, but only Christ is the true vine. He's the only true vine. And as for those then who have no connection with Christ, the vine, well, obviously there needs to be a grafting in. You know that in horticulture, similarly to agriculture, then there's this process of grafting branches on to a tree. Paul talks about it in connection with an olive tree in the letter to the Romans. How sometimes then a new branch will be grafted on to the old olive tree. Well, similarly with a vine then, that can happen. And that is something then that needs to happen to those who are not already attached to Christ the vine. And again, I'm not saying attached to the church, I mean to Christ himself. Now, once you're in the vine, then, however you got to be in the vine, whether you were always brought up with these things, or whether you came to them like I did from outside, and you came to see that they were true, the one thing necessary is to remain in the Lord Jesus Christ, to keep believing in him, to keep serving him, to keep obeying him, to keep seeking to do his will. And so I'd say to you, if you have a background in these things, will remain, isn't it? Don't go off. Remain in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't seek to detach yourself. Don't seek to separate yourself from the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't try and get away. Remain in him, because if you do, he will remain in you. And similarly, if you've attached yourself, or you've become attached to the Lord Jesus Christ, well then remain there. Remain in him. Continue to rely upon him and to continue to rest on him always. So that's the first thing, isn't it? Hear and understand, first of all, the command, isn't it? Remain in me, which means to go on trusting in Jesus Christ, to go on looking to him. And the promise then that goes with it, that if you remain in him, he will remain in you. If you remain in Christ, if you keep trusting in him, he won't forsake you. He won't leave you. He won't let you down. He won't fail you in any way. So that's the first thing. And then secondly, consider the picture that he uses to explain his statement. You see, what Jesus says here then, or the way he expresses himself, has to do with the picture that he is using. And it's that picture of the vine. So think of a vine. If you can't think of a vine, think of any fruit tree, because I think the application would be the same. There's a certain significance about the vine, of course, because it's so connected with Israel. But I think this will work if you think of any sort of fruit tree. He says about such a fruit tree, he says, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. And I think that's pretty obvious, isn't it? Even if you don't know very much about agriculture or horticulture at all. It's obvious that once the branch is separated from the main tree, from the body of the tree, it's not going to produce any fruit at all. Connection to the main plant is absolutely vital. And so Jesus makes this obvious application. He says, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. In other words, you are not going to do anything productive. You're not going to do anything that's going to bring glory to God in your life unless you are connected to Jesus Christ, the true vine. That's the only way it's possible to do anything good, to do anything pleasing or honoring to God, to do anything worthwhile. You have to be connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. Unless you're connected to him, then you cannot even begin to live the Christian life in truth. Now, when he talks about fruit, he means then all that grows out of being a Christian. He's talking about Christian character, Christian graces, as well as the effect then that is produced in the lives of others. And he's saying that none of this is going to happen. None of this at all is going to happen without being connected to him. There's not going to be any love. There's not going to be any joy. There's not going to be any peace. There's not going to be any patience, nor kindness. There's not going to be any goodness, nor faithfulness. There's not going to be any gentleness or self-control. There's not going to be any good effect on the lives of others unless we remain connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's a very simple picture, isn't it? And maybe you think, well, I came all this way tonight. I thought we were going to have something a bit more complicated than this. This sounds too simple. Even I can understand this, perhaps you're thinking to yourself. Well, it is very simple. And yet it's surprising how quickly you forget this thing. It's a very simple picture. On your own, you can do nothing. On our own, we are useless. In fact, all of us together on our own can't do anything, can we? I mean, picture it in your head. Here's a branch. It's on its own. It's just lying there. It's not connected to anything. What can that branch do? How much fruit can that branch produce? It can't produce any fruit at all. If there is any fruit on it when it comes from the tree, well, that fruit will soon rot and no more will be produced. Ah, you say, but what if you've got lots and lots of branches all together? Well, you don't say that, do you? Because you know. It doesn't matter how many branches you manage to get together. If they're not connected to the vine, if they're not connected to the mother plant, then they will produce no fruit whatsoever. And as individuals, or indeed all of us together, we can do nothing of any lasting good whatsoever for we are only branches at the best. And he alone then is the true vine. He alone is the tree itself. And so connection to him is vital. And that connection then, if it is not established, then it can't work. How do you get connected to the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, it's a matter of faith, isn't it? They're everywhere. The Bible teaches that, isn't it? How do we get to Jesus Christ? It's no good buying a picture and holding it close to yourself. It's not even enough to read about the Lord Jesus and say, well, this is something I want to sort of bring near to me like that. We have to put our faith in Jesus Christ. We have to believe in him. We have to trust in him as he is. And that's what we must continue to do then, in order then to be in the vine and to bear fruit. We have to remain in him. So, there's this command, isn't there? Remain in him. And there's a promise that if we remain in him, he will remain in us. And it's based on this picture then of the vine and the branches. The branches cannot produce fruit on their own. They have to be part of the vine. So thirdly then, let's reflect on Jesus' further explanation about being a productive Christian. You see, Jesus develops this just a little bit in verse 5. He says again, I am the vine. You, talking to his disciples, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. And that's the way forward then. It isn't a matter, you see, so much of some great effort on the part of the branch, or the branches together then. Indeed, it doesn't depend on the branches themselves as such. All the branches actually have to do is to remain where they are. There may be efforts by passers-by to wrench the branches off. The wind might blow, and it might blow very severely. And you think that branch is not going to stand with a wind like this. It's not going to be able to remain. But that is what it needs to do. It must, then. It is absolutely vital that it stays where it is. We mustn't be mistaken about this. A branch, if you think about it in these terms again, a branch might begin to bear fruit, as it were. And that branch, as it were, might begin to think, well, look, I'm producing fruit. There's fruit there. There are things happening. I don't need the vine. Look at all that fruit that has already been produced. And yet the moment the branch becomes separate from the vine, there will be no more fruit. There may be fruit at the time, but there can be no further fruit. Without the vital sap that comes then from the vine into the branch, there will be no fruit. There will be no Christian character. There will be no good effects on others. On the other hand, to the extent that we remain in the Lord Jesus Christ, to that extent, then, there will be more and more fruit. Well, have we grasped this? I'm conscious that I may be saying things and you think, well, this is primary Sunday school material. Well, maybe it is, but I think we need to grasp the vital importance of remaining in Christ. The closer we are to him, then, the more conscious of Jesus Christ we are, the greater our faith in him, the more we're relying on him, then the more fruitful we are likely to be. Do you want to be a useful Christian? Do you want to be useful in this world? Well, there's only one way to be useful, and that is to come as close, as near to Jesus Christ as you possibly can. There is no other way. There's nothing we can do on our own. It's no good thinking then. And it isn't a matter of gifts. You know, sometimes we think to ourselves, well, if I had that man's gifts, if I was able to do what that person was doing, oh, I'd be a great Christian. No, it isn't to do with that though, is it? God uses different people in different ways. Some do have great gifts, and they will give an account for the way they've used those gifts in the judgment to come. No, the important thing is that we remain in Jesus Christ. So one more thing then I want to say to you before we close. I want you to ponder, to think hard then, about this fundamental truth about being a Christian. See, Jesus sums it up very powerfully, very simply again, but very powerfully, with the telling phrase that we get at the end of verse 5. See what he says there? He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. He doesn't say, apart from me, there's not really very much you can do. He doesn't say, well, apart from me, maybe there's just one or two things you could do and that's about it. No, he says, without me, you can do nothing. A big fat zero. Nothing whatsoever. You can think as long as you like. You can think as hard as you like. And you can try and think of something that one of us could do apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're wasting your time because there is nothing. There's nothing. You couldn't say a little prayer. You couldn't put in a good word for Jesus. You couldn't do the slightest thing apart from him. Now that's a good phrase, I think, to enter the new year. Maybe you've forgotten what the text was this morning. It'll be on the notices next week. But if you could remember that, that would be something, wouldn't it? Apart from me, you can do nothing. It's very important that we get that into our minds. You think about sport. You know, sometimes say a football team has got a great player in their team. And people will say, well, without him, they'd be nothing, that team, you know. He's vital. You know, it's no wonder they've done so well. They've got him on the team. He's an amazing player. And they perhaps are very successful. People keep saying, well, how wonderful this player is. And how, if they lose him, if he gets injured, they're in trouble. And of course, eventually, the player either does get injured or he can't play for some other reason. He's booked and he's banned from playing, or he moves on to another club. Something happens, things change, don't they? And sometimes what they find is actually the team's not bad without that particular player. There may be a decrease, there may be that they're not so good as they were when that player was playing, or maybe they're just as good. It's different in different circumstances, isn't it? Or if you think of other spheres, then, you know, sometimes there's a band then, and they say, oh, he's such a brilliant player. If he wasn't in, they wouldn't be the same at all. And again, things change then. The key person, as he seems to be, is removed from the band. And yet, you know, they're still able to produce music. They're still able to be as successful, and sometimes more successful, than they were with this vital person. You can think of, I'm sure, other scenarios where, you know, somebody is really important. In churches it happens, doesn't it? They say, well, I don't know what would happen to that church if she wasn't there, or if he wasn't there. I think the whole thing would stop. And sometimes you feel like that. Sometimes churches are small and so dependent on individuals. But again and again, it's not quite that simple. But when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, we're in a totally different atmosphere. See, without him, it is literally true. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You see, there are people who profess to be Christians, and they don't have the Lord Jesus Christ. They've never come to real faith in him. He's not in control of their lives. Now, what can people like that do? What can they achieve? Well, you know the answer, don't you? They can achieve absolutely nothing. There are so-called churches, and the missing ingredient is not, they don't need better singing, they don't need preachers with better ability. What they need is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one then who is completely overlooked in what they do. Now, churches like that, so-called churches, they have nothing. They have nothing whatsoever. And so it's not enough to say then that such Christians and such churches are not so good then. They're not as good as churches that have caught Jesus Christ. Wouldn't that be a weird thing to say, wouldn't it? Well, you know, that church is not as good as this one, because actually not just what they haven't got is Jesus Christ. Or you say that this Christian, he's not as good a Christian, is he, as the other Christians? Well, he hasn't got Jesus Christ. That's the thing that's missing in his life. It sounds ludicrous to speak in those terms. But the truth is that those who profess to be Christians, those who profess to be Christian churches, if they haven't got Jesus Christ, they are incapable of doing anything that truly honors God. They are incapable of doing anything good whatsoever. And it's very important then that we see this Otherwise, we're going to make a very poor and a very misguided assessment of our own Christian lives and of those then around us, and many other things as well. Apart from Christ, then, there is nothing we can do that is worth doing. It is just so much dross. It is so much rubbish if it is not done then in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not that we do some things and he does the rest. And sometimes people talk like that. They say, oh, the Lord was helping me, they say, isn't it? And I know what people mean when they say the Lord was helping me. They mean without his help I couldn't have done it at all. I hope that's what they mean. But sometimes we get the impression that, well, you know, I did a lot, but you know, Christ did a little bit as well. Now we need to understand this. There are very many things that we must do. We are responsible, and we must do certain things. But if he's not in it, if it isn't ultimately Jesus Christ who does it, then it is absolutely useless. It's not worth doing. All our praying, all our witnessing, everything else that we do will simply be one heap of rubbish, one heap of nonsense, unless it is done in and through the Lord Jesus Christ by his strength and by his aid. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So it's a very simple couple of verses, isn't it? I don't think there's anything particularly complicated here. But I think these are things that we ought to have very much to the fore in our minds. We need to remain in Christ. If we remain in Christ, he will remain in us. It's like a vine and the branch. There will be no fruit if the branch does not remain in the vine. Apart from me, says Jesus, you can do nothing.